Welcome to the Green Sheets podcast by Appleyard Leys, a conversation for those who own, manage, or protect intellectual property.
Welcome to the Appleyard Leys Green Sheets podcast. I'm Vishal Dattani, a trademark attorney at Appleyard Leys. So this podcast would be well worth a listen for anyone thinking about launching a business in the clothing or sports sector. Today, I'm thrilled to be joined by Jinesh, Shankar and Rashid, founders of Garuda Golf, a premium performance golf clothing brand.
My name is Jinesh. I'm a dentist by trade and I still am working as a dentist.
My name is Shankar. I work in finance within FMCG and I know these guys from high school.
Hi, my name is Rashid. I work in finance as well, but on the retail side of things.
In today's episode, we'll dive into the inspiring startup journey of Garuda. Jinesh, Shankar and Rashid set out to break down the barriers and make golf more inclusive and accessible to everyone. So in this podcast, we'll explore the evolution of the Garuda brand from the initial idea to bringing their vision to life, overcoming obstacles and ultimately inspiring more people to take up the game that they love. How did you all end up coming together and decide to launch Garuda clothing golf brand?
For us, it started in COVID. Of course, as Shankar mentioned, we're friends from high school and we all enjoy playing sports. But during that time, a lot of sports were shut down and golf was one of the first sports to open back up again. So, you know, the usual WhatsApp message, should we go and play a round of golf? Well, yeah, let's give it a go and test it out. And all three of us really quickly found a real strong liking towards the sport. We found there was so many benefits of playing golf, not just from the physical side, but also from a mental health side, having just generally, you know, life stresses. Golf was a real good sport for us to be able to spend 4 hours away from home and just be able to clear our heads. As time went on, we really grew into the game. But what we noticed was that there was a lack of representation within the sport. We also questioned why we never really played the sport much before. You know, we were playing football or cricket, and we realized it was probably a sport that was not necessarily accessible to us growing up. And that I would say is probably down to a number of factors. Of course, cost, so like a high barrier to entry for golf. A lot of our friends didn't play golf. And I guess generally the stereotypes of a golfer was something that was always like a little barrier to us as well. And so the idea of Garuda then came about to be able to create a brand that had some representation for people from ethnic backgrounds, but also to break those stereotypes that people have about golf, to show them that it's actually a really fun sport and we wanted to make it more inclusive and accessible. And as the brand started to grow, you know, I think we started to also develop our business model. We noticed that there was a far greater purpose to what we're doing with the brand. And now we're pairing up with charities and organizations to help introduce the newer generation of golfers to those, you know, who find it difficult to access the sport, to be able to have the opportunity to pick up a golf club and experience the benefits that it's given us.
I think for me, football was probably the sport we all sort of grew up with, being from working class backgrounds. All your peers play football. Golf was never discussed in school unless somebody was super well off. You just never had the opportunity to play. And to be honest, none of my family played. So naturally, when you're younger, you're always inspired by what your family and friends do. If they don't play or speak about it, you pay no attention to it. And you see on TV, you think, oh, why is this person hitting a ball with a stick? Like, that looks absolutely mind-numbingly boring. Until you actually do it. And I think it's something, as you get older, you develop more of an appreciation for, and it's the mental and physical side of things, of course. But I think, again, building your network on a golf course, you play with people you've never played with before or met before. You're stuck with them for 4.5 hours. So you have no choice but to get out of your comfort zone. So I think that's why it's so important that kids these days get into this, because they're so obsessed with staying at a screen all day long. Get off your phone for 4.5 hours and just meet new people. It can get you really far.
Yeah, I agree with everything Jin and Shankar said. I think when you get away on the course and you spend 4.5 hours on the course, the mental clarity you get from the game as well. And you don't get that from any other sport, really.
You all kind of have got into golf, sounds like fairly recently. Where did the inspiration come from to decide to launch this brand?
I think that as we started to get more into the sport, we... naturally, we're looking for more golf-related clothing, stuff that we could wear on the course. And we found a lot of the offerings that were out there were stuff that was a little bit more bland and less diverse and slightly less inclusive. So brands that had, you know, sort of values that resonated with us. A consumer is becoming a lot more conscious about the choices they make from what type of brands they wear and where they get their clothing from. And, you know, they don't want to buy fast fashion type of clothing. I mean, you will get obviously a demographic of people that do, but now I think people are a little bit more conscious about where they buy their clothing from. So I felt, you know, well, all three of us felt we could start something that had brand values that other people would resonate with and was giving back to society. And that would help to grow the game of golf because, you know, I think it's a sport that does need, and it is ongoing changes, but it's kind of in that transitional phase. And, you know, the more people that get into it, I think it's only going to benefit the sport more so.
What were the kind of key turning points or the lessons that you learned? You know, were there any particular challenges that came up at the beginning?
I would probably say naming your brand has to be one of the hardest things to do. It sounds ridiculous, but you really, really need to think about this because that's ultimately what the public are seeing, your potential consumers are seeing. So if it's not memorable, they think, oh, okay, it's just another brand. So I think naming it so it actually means something and it's quite different, it's unique, that goes a long way. And moving to your field of speciality, IP was a big thing for us. So we were a bit naive when we started. We sat down in the kitchen eating our Nando's, whatever, just scrap paper, writing names down. I think we went through about 50 to 60. They all sounded great at the time, but then you take a step back and think, that's actually not very good. So you're back to square one. And we did come across one name which we really liked called Urbane, but with the help of your firm, we realized that no, that's not going to work because there was actually already somebody in who had that trademark. So again, we're back to square one and it just felt like blow after blow until we eventually landed on Garuda.
You've come up with the names and what we can do is to kind of help you decide on whether that proposed name is actually registrable and whether you can use it, you know. And one of the things with Urbane that we spotted was that there were some third parties out there which might present a risk to your proposed use. So you know, the last thing that you wanted to do is spend all that money preparing to launch a brand. You actually launch the brand and then you end up receiving a cease and desist from an earlier right owner. So it just shows the value of doing that research at the start. And this is where we can kind of help. But going back to landing on Garuda, I think it would be really good to hear from kind of, there's a clear concept behind it. What was that concept? How does that resonate with you all?
So ultimately we are all Hindu. And within Hinduism, Garuda is actually a mythical Hindu bird. It's actually the king of the birds. So as I'm sure most people are aware that the majority of golf terms are associated with birds for some bizarre reason. So we thought, you know what? Garuda Golf, it just sounds really, really good and it's quite unique. And ultimately it does link with us. So we thought, you know what? Let's go with it.
And I guess, yeah, to your point earlier, it's a name that's different. It stands out to other brands and whatnot. You know, you mentioned your brand's Garuda and they're like, oh, what is Garuda? You know, the first thing they'll ask is, it stands out.
I think as well with it, we really wanted something that, as a name, that connected us three as owners and had some meaning behind it. It's all well and good having a name, you know, which you can put out there. We've got many which we sort of plucked out from thin air, but what we essentially wanted was some sort of meaning behind it. And as Shankar said, that there is the meaning of the king of birds. The Hinduism side kind of relates and connects to us as well. And we found that the word Garuda Golf, or, you know, the small phrase Garuda Golf, had a really nice flow to it with the two G's together. So, you know, it all kind of tied in nicely. And after sort of going through countless names, it was the one that we were really sort of fixated on and really liked. And all of us straight away were sold by that name.
Just to kind of summarize it, so you've got that emotional concept with Garuda, with you all being Hindus. It links with the brand because Garuda conceptually means the king of birds in Hindu mythology and in Hinduism. And there are lots of bird-related terms for some reason in golf, such as a birdie or an eagle, for example. I came across an obstacle, a bit of an unusual one that caught us all off guard, because the UK IPO raised an objection to the proposed Mark Garuda on the basis that it was contrary to public policy or accepted principles of morality. What we've said was, in our view, respectfully, we disagree with that assessment for a number of reasons, one of which being that we think the examiner has taken a bit of an overly broad view, and we managed to persuade the UK IPO to overturn its objection, which was a really good result, actually.
I think just to add to that as well, Vishal, just when you've spent so long picking a name and, you know, you really get set on one, and we had the name Urbane and we bought domain names for it and bought email addresses and everything. And, you know, then that was then thrown out the window because Garuda came about and we really liked that. And then to get thrown the objection into there was a real blow. But obviously kind of having that eventually overturned and working with you guys was such a big victory for us. I remember how excited we were when that all went through. So yeah, that was a really stressful process. When you spend all that time, and it seems so trivial and small in the grand scheme of things of building a clothing brand, but I think it means so much because the name is essentially the identity of the brand. So that was a big victory for us.
Which kind of leads us quite nicely onto the next point, which is what was going on behind the scenes whilst this was all ongoing.
Of course, we had a few more challenges. So we initially established a factory in Romania with one of our product developers. On the face of it, sounded absolutely fantastic. As things move along, we realized, hold on a minute, things aren't happening when promised. Communication was awful. And we were never going to make our original scheduled timeline. So we had to make the big decision to actually switch factories from Romania all the way to Portugal, which was a bit of a nightmare. Logistically, that changes everything. And you chuck in Brexit into the equation, paperwork just piles up. So we had to deal with that. There were so many different factors involved, but we thought, you know what? We want to work with someone who is going to be reliable, who's going to be able to communicate. Ultimately, communication in business is the most important thing. If you don't have that, there's absolutely no trust at that point. So fortunately, we carried on designing our bits and bobs. We were yet to produce final versions just because we weren't 100% sure at this point whether the trademark would be approved. But we thought, let's keep going. And then we got the green light and we thought, yes, we can finally click the go button. And that feeling, we got sent a video by our factory that day, we told them. I don't know how to describe that feeling. It was quite surreal. Like, you see your brand and logo being put in a bit of clothing on a mass scale. That was quite special. That really was quite special.
I mean, I still remember receiving the samples with the name on it as well. And, you know, it was such a good feeling. Like, we even wore them out on the golf course ourselves, you know, even though they were samples, they weren't the right size or whatever. But just that feeling of just representing your own brand is something that you've put time and effort into designing. And then, you know, picking up fabrics, designing every kind of design on every little bit of design on there. It's such a good feeling.
Getting those registration certificates was ultimately a really important milestone, I felt, for the team and for the brand. And you mentioned something there about the factories in Romania and Portugal, and again, this was part of our initial strategy discussions, right? You know, where do you think you're selling to? Where are you making these clothes? What's your future plans? What are the territories? And I think we'd identified here that the UK and the EU were the territory, well, the core territories of interest for Garuda at this stage. And so we started with the UK, which is quite a common strategy to test the water as the home market, and now we've managed to also secure you a registration certificate at the EU IPO as well, so that offers you protection in 27 member states on top of the UK. So you're in a really strong position now to kind of build on the momentum that you've got to. So, you know, you've had some challenges, but it looks like things are going in a good direction now.
All of these areas are out of our normal work sort of remit, and so, you know, none of us are from a fashion background or the fashion industry. So, you know, even from finding a product developer to a fashion designer was all something new that we were doing, and going through a phase of, you know, not necessarily interviewing people, but meeting with people, seeing whether they can work with us, whether they sort of match up to our values, and you know, we feel like we can work cohesively with them was a real learning curve. thankfully, you know, our designer and fashion developer were people we have a really, really good relationship with. But the website was a big hiccup, and I think it was a big learning point for us. But, you know, it brought us closer together as founders. We also found we were able to deal with obstacles well together. Because during this process as well, and as well as being friends, you know, that's a super important, that's an important part. But sometimes that can also be a potential hindrance in building a business. And, you know, sometimes you may not want to step on each other's toes, or you may not know how to deal with, you know, any hiccups. No journey is ever smooth, and there's always going to be problems. And the website was a big issue. We lost out on money. But actually, I think these problems that we had made our friendship, but also our working relationship, a lot better and stronger. And it built on the trust that we had with each other. And it could have gone two ways, but, you know, thankfully it's built the relationship better. You know, it's been a really nice and interesting learning curve, challenging. But, you know, I think we're slowly building a brand, which we're all really proud of, which has been really good so far.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think some of the issues that you've mentioned there aren't uncommon for new businesses, you know, thinking about the domain name, the website, the trademark, the color scheme. How did you decide on all of this? You know, logistics, for example, you know, what was the kind of inspiration behind your color scheme on your website, the way it's presented, the layout, and then also kind of from that, the kind of consumer experience? You know, it's an online business. How do you interact? How do you draw the customer in? How do you ensure that the delivery process is smooth, that the experience is smooth? You know, what are the steps that you had to do to kind of make sure that that all runs without any issues?
How we came up with the brand logo and color scheme. Again, we wanted to have something which, you know, connected us in some ways. And again, lots of late nights drawings, really bad logos from people on Fiverr and trying to do things ourselves using AI. And essentially one day we were just sort of doodling and we drew three golf balls and that little intersection. So three golf balls, we were thinking each one of those golf balls will represent a founder. And so how can we use that to then create a logo? And as we did that, we sort of felt like that intersecting area creates a Rouleau triangle, which is a type of triangle which has an equal diameter all the way around. And our brand is all about equality, and having a sort of equal diameter all across the Rouleau triangle seemed to fit in well. And we feel like it's quite a nice, simple, sleek, timeless design. So that's how that came about. And then the brand colors were, you know, we just looked at the psychology of colors, as you do, you know, Google, YouTube, and see what you find that fits with the brand. And we came up with this slightly pastely blue color, which I think blue instills a sense of trust and happiness and serenity. And, you know, that's what you hope for in golf is being at peace, at least when you're playing well anyways. But that's how the brand color came about.
I'd say from a logistical point of view, I think ultimately you are using existing companies and trying to work out what their end-to-end experience is for the customer. So we were using established brands and checking out what our experience was like with them. Because if you like their experience, why wouldn't you incorporate that into your own, but try and make it a bit better? So the whole idea of the grid is to build a community. So we want people to feel valued and not just another number as part of a client list. So one of our key things was that every time you place an order, you will receive a personalized handwritten note from us, just thanking you and welcoming you to the community. And you are now part of the family. So we want you to feel special when you open a gift or a package, rather. And you also get a ball marker, which has our motto on it, which is Ready, Relax, Play, which, again, it's just something really simple, but we think it was super effective and it looks really good on a t-shirt. If you haven't seen it, check out the website.
So I guess one of the bits that might be quite challenging, at least for a startup, is you've got all of these values, you've got your message, your idea, everything's ready to be sold. You know, the business is ready to launch. You've got your IP secured pre-launch. Now you're at this kind of manufacturing process. And from what I understand, it's not cheap to design and manufacture clothes and make the sales. You know, how do you navigate that?
Yeah, I mean, I think initially as we started the brand, you know, we always wanted to make the sport more accessible. So we initially felt like we wanted to make high quality clothing, not fast fashion. And I think we were naive in thinking that we would be able to do at a very cost-effective price. But naturally, when you are a startup, you know, you have limited capital. And so, you know, to be able to order high-quality stuff at a low price was really difficult. And so we realized, you know, we are possibly going to have to push up our prices, but that matches what I feel with the quality of the product and the time that was put into designing and developing our clothing. And actually, we really got a real sense for it when we went out to visit the factory, to see the amount of detail and planning that goes into each and every garment. Everything is handmade, hand-stitched. You know, we're making sure that our fabrics are ethically sourced and coming from reliable sources. The factory has all of its certificates, you know, and actually being able to go in and see that in person and know that where your products are being made, the care that's being taken into it, we were really taken aback by us being a smaller startup brand compared to some of the brands that they work with, how much time they took with us to you know, really, really welcome us, like, you know, spend all the time we wanted to answer all the questions that we had. We weren't just another number, which we easily could be, I'm sure, on their books. But, you know, we felt comfortable knowing that our products are being made with the best level of care. And, you know, it's then going to be able to be shown to the consumer with the quality that's there. For now, we're really enjoying the progress that Garuda's making, and we're loving building a community and meeting other golfers.
Thank you all for your time. It's been a pleasure speaking with you all. I've loved listening to your stories, and really excited to see the business grow.
Likewise, you know, thanks for having us, and yeah, great conversation.
Thank you for having us.
Amazing. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Green Shoots podcast by Appleyard Leeds. If you have a question or issue you would like our IP specialist to discuss on the podcast, then tweet us at Appleyard Leeds or email us at ip@appleyardleeds.com.